We've just been listening to members of the American Spiritual Ensemble singing Steal Away, arranged by Joseph Jennings. The soloists there were John Wesley Wright and Ricky Little. And talking with me now is the director of the group, Dr. Everett McCorvey. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. It was interesting. John Wesley Wright is here, but he's off the mic. We're just talking with Dr. McCorvey. So he's making faces at us while we do this. But they were talking about listening to this old recording of themselves and how works grow. Let's start there. Talk about it.
Well, you know, we do these over a period of time. We'll have something in our repertory for two or 3 years, and we'll take it out for a couple of years. And the group's been together since 1995. So we will put it in the repertory for a few years, and then we'll take it out for a few years, and then we'll put it back in. We actually have it on this tour with Professor Wright singing it. After you do it two or three times, it seasons. And we were saying, yeah, well, when we record this the next time, we'll do this and this and this. In the end, it's still just so beautiful to listen to. And we have such a great time with our members and with the soloists and the special talents that they bring to the organization and to the concerts. And we're so fortunate to have John Wesley Wright as a member who's been a member of the American Spiritual Ensemble for over 7 years. I have to brag on him a little bit because this is really true. You know, we perform all over the world. I don't think we've been a place yet that John Wesley Wright has not had a fan. He is the most popular man on the planet, which is great for our concerts because that means we have full audiences. They're all there to see John.
And we're talking about the American Spiritual Ensemble, which is performing tonight and tomorrow, 8 p.m. at Asbury United Methodist Church, part of Salisbury University's African American History Month celebration. Speaking now with their director, conductor, Dr. Everett McCorvey. And tell me a bit about the program you'll be doing.
Well, we are presenting a program of spirituals. I'll tell you a little bit about the group. The American Spiritual Ensemble is a group of 20, I think we have about 25 members here for this tour. The mission of the American Spiritual Ensemble is to keep the American Negro spiritual alive. And so to that end, we get to travel all over the country and celebrate these great American Negro spirituals. And people will say, well, what are spirituals? Well, spirituals are the folk songs of the American Negro slaves. And so these were the melodies that the slaves sang in the cotton fields and in the homes and in the camp meetings. And these were just single melodies as they started out, harmonized in very different ways each time. But what we sing is we sing these melodies, but we've arranged them into choral arrangements. And so these are the arranged spirituals.
This was something I was actually going to ask you about, the historical significance, but also, is there a definitional difference between gospel music and spirituals?
Yes. Actually, the reason that I started the group was because as I was traveling in my professional activities around the country after I finished my doctorate, I found out that people did not know the difference between gospel music and spirituals. And so, and the great American Negro spirituals that had developed after the slaves had been freed and Africans who wanted to, or African Americans who wanted to go to college to study and learn the rudiments of music, these spirituals were being lost and sort of placed into a large category that was gospel slash spirituals. And so the gospel music really didn't take shape and start in this country until the 1930s and 40s. People think that gospel music is as old as spirituals, and gospel music isn't. And so these spirituals date back until to slavery. I mean, you can date some of these melodies back even to the 1500s. So the spirituals are the folk songs of the American Negro slaves. The gospel music is a more popularized form of praise music that was formed in the 30s. Really, Mahalia Jackson was one of the great, great gospel singers. So these are the old spirituals done in the old ways of William Dawson.
I was going to mention him and William Grant Still. It's often the more, quote, serious, unquote, composers do an a setting of the traditional spiritual, and later in the month we'll be playing works by Zenobia Powell Perry,
settings of American spirit. Well, if you think about the fact that after the Emancipation Proclamation, and you're talking 1863, when it was not even until 1890 when a European composer by the name of Antonin Dvorak came over to this country to head a national school of music that was in New York City. And he was the first person, really, to recognize the value of the Negro melodies and
I
the melodies.
I think he called it the uniquely American.
That's exactly right. And so he wrote his most famous symphony here, which was Symphony for a New World. And he said in the preface of the symphony, in the music of the American Negro and the Native American, you have all that is needed to create an entirely new school of music. And so it took this European composer, this Czech composer, coming over. And if you think of the Czech music, that's also very folk-based.
Yes.
And so this Czech composer coming over to the United States and then recognizing the value and importance of this music. And after Dvorak did that, then other conservatories started allowing blacks to enter and learn the rudiments of music so that they could begin writing down these melodies.
And speaking of the value, in the arts in general right now, the big word is relevance, which I personally think it's highly overrated, but what is the cultural relevance today of these historic works?
I tell you, the thing that is so important to me is that we learn our history of this country through these spirituals. These spirituals have been around since the formation of our country. And when slaves came over, they were not allowed to bring their music. They were not allowed to speak their language. They were not allowed to bring their instruments with them. And in many cases, they were separated from their families. So they had to learn a totally new way of communicating and a totally new way of expression. So they did that through this music. So this music was formed here in this country. And then after this music was formed, it was used in so many different ways and so many different important points in our country's history. So what we do in our concerts and in our work is we are able to tell the history of our culture, the history of America through this music. So I think that relevance is what this music is all about.
I assume now that that's part of your programs is telling the history. But you also do other things. You've been giving master classes these 2 days, but you did a choral workshop on Wednesday.
Yes,
what
yes.
kind of things do you focus on in your choral workshop?
Well, the nice part of this group is that it's made up of all professional singers. We have about 100 singers in our organization. And I hold auditions every year in New York and in Washington and different major cities where we perform. And so the singers are all auditioned. We accept them into the organization. We don't travel with 100, obviously. But what we do is we'll travel with between 20 and 25. And I send out an email to all of the people who have been accepted into the organization to see who's available. Then after I learn of their availability, then I arrange the numbers depending on the budget and 'cause they're all paid and the number of performances and all of that. So
And that's the behind-the-scenes work
that
a conductor and director does that a lot of people never think about that logistical arrangement.
That's right. We have a company manager, we have a tour manager, we have an agent, and they do a lot of that heavy lifting for us so that we can continue to survive. Well, the group is, they're professional singers, and they're also professors at universities. We probably have 10 or 12 people on our roster who are professors at other universities, like John Wesley Wright. We have people from Miami University, West Virginia University, Morehead State, University of Kentucky, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. What we do is when we go into a city, we also have the ability, because we have so many voice teachers in our group, we have the ability to offer master classes to the universities, because we're hired by a lot of universities to do programs, and so on their performing arts artist series. So we also offer master classes. So we can work with voice students on their regular operatic repertory, their art song repertory. And then, because I'm also a conductor, I can work with the choirs in terms of choral techniques, and how to sing better, how to use your voice better, how not to lose your voice after rehearsing, you know, over a period of time. So we do all of those. So I've been working with the university chorus and also with the community choir. And a few years ago, we had a wonderful piece written for us that was for double choir. And so we're actually going to have the community chorus and the university chorus join us on a piece on our program.
The American Spiritual Ensemble performing tonight and tomorrow at 8 p.m. at Asbury United Methodist Church. I've been speaking to their conductor, Dr. Everett McCorvey. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a delight to be here.